Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome as we come together to worship the living God. Welcome to this service, which is for Sunday, the 14th of June, 2020, the first Sunday after Trinity. Of course, you may be tuning in at all sorts of other times, and we extend a welcome wherever you are and whenever you are visiting this service. This online service can be accessed at any point in time. We also have our morning prayer, which is live streamed 8 o'clock on Monday to Friday mornings. And at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, there is a coffee time. If you look at the Pews News, you'll be able to see the link for that coffee time to meet up together. Other notices can be found on the St. John the Baptist Church website. Just click in on stjbchurchinsight.com. Do keep an eye on it at the moment because we are starting to come out of lockdown. There may be possibilities of churches reopening soon, depending on how it all goes. And we will put up the news on the website as and when we get it from the government and the Church of England. So do keep an eye on that for news of church reopening. If you'd like to know more news from Kingston and Southmore Church, do use the email you can see on the screen to sign up for Pews News and catch up with all the news that's new and approved from this church. And if you'd like to know more about Fifield and Tunney churches, do email me and my email is on the website. Have you got any questions about life? Well, if you do, you're in luck because we've got Christianity Explored up and running online. We have a course running at the moment and we could run another. Do sign up for our next course by contacting me on vicar.kbsft@gmail.com or 01865820451. It's a very good course. We're having a very good time already on the first course, and do join in and sign up for our next. It really is excellent. You can check out the Christianity Explored website to see just how good it is. Well, here we are. We're going to begin the service proper now. A very warm welcome wherever you are. We hope you are finding hope and help in God during this time of lockdown. Yesterday, good news for many grandparents and many people on their own. Grandparents got to hug their grandchildren again, and others joined a support bubble. And we celebrate that moment of great happiness after isolation. As we go through our service, please join in singing the hymns when we get to them and saying the responses. Just read the words in bold text in yellow. Our opening prayers. May grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have today the shorter collect for the first Sunday after Trinity.
God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to have our first song, I Will Tell the Wondrous Story.
Christ, who died for me.
always say sorry to God with the words you will see on the screen in front of you. Lord Jesus Christ, you suffered a cruel death on the cross for our redemption, yet we have forgotten your pain and stayed in the realm of the evil you defeated. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you were raised from death to bring us new life, yet we have preferred the comfort of the familiar and the empty promises of a sinful world. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you have ascended to your Father and our Father, your God and our God. Plead there at the right hand of God for our forgiveness and entry into the fullness of his presence. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Now we come to hear God's word, which Ian and Ian will read to us now.
Our first reading may be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you, Ian.
The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, and chapter 10, verses 16 to 20. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus said, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you."
Thank you, Ian. Your word, O Lord, is a lantern to our feet
and a light upon our path.
Now we'll have a talk about mission in a time of coronavirus? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, or whatever time it is, wherever you are. Welcome to our service today. I am hoping it has been a very happy weekend indeed for grandparents. You've got to hug their grandchildren again. Those living in isolation who've joined a support bubble. And for others who are finding lockdown gradually easing and a bit more freedom creeping back into life. It seems like we've taken another step down the road towards that far-off place called normal. Remember normal? It seems a long time ago. And how we grumbled when we had it. Perhaps we'll appreciate it a bit more as and when we get it back again. Many things will continue rather strange for a while. One thing that does remain the same is that we, like the Blues Brothers, have a mission from God. And our passages today tell us a bit about that mission. First, let's look at that gospel reading and see what the Lord Jesus Christ has to tell us about mission. We'll reflect on the story, the sheep, the stress, and the shepherd. Famous words of Jesus: when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Not exactly complimentary, but very realistic. Now, as then, left to ourselves, we are all like sheep without a shepherd. We have all sorts of self-appointed guides offering advice. We have celebrities telling us how to live on their YouTube channels and Instagram and on their TV programs. We have politicians giving us rules about lockdown. We have endless experts offering analysis and reams of data. Multitudes of commentators on TV and elsewhere giving us the benefit of their most valuable opinions. But we don't have a shepherd until we find the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one shepherd does us more good than all of the rest if we are following the Good Shepherd himself. You may have noticed that Jesus says that even if we follow him, we're still sheep. We might rather be something more flattering to our egos. We might rather be turned into tigers or eagles, dolphins, or something a bit exciting. But actually, he says Christians are sheep just as much as anybody else. The difference is that we are forgiven sheep and we have the right shepherd to follow. He has plans for us. It's about how he leads his sheep, and all the sheep are doing is following the Good Shepherd. This is the spiritual reality of our situation. It's not exactly how we think of ourselves. It's not cool to be a sheep. But that is how Jesus sees us. We are made to be guided by him, our one and only true shepherd. And without him, our souls are lost. He is the one shepherd who can guide us home to God. That's the first image in this passage that defies our eyes. People may not look like sheep, but if you think about how we behave, you'll see what Jesus means. We are carried along by our own needs. We don't have much time to look up. We are so busy. Sheep keep their noses to the grass. We keep our noses to the grindstone to pay rent and mortgages and all those bills. Sheep no doubt feel they are very busy. With all that grass to graze, it won't stop growing. A sheep turns its back for a minute, and there'll be another bit of grass springing up, needing to be nibbled back down again. It's a busy life for a sheep. And we feel we're pretty busy too. There's a good side to sheep, though. they stick with the flock. One of the best aspects of people is the way we stick with our family and friends very often. That's all good. What we sometimes don't realize is that family and friendship are even better with the Good Shepherd at the heart of them. Jesus doesn't just help us through the tough bits of life. He enriches and transforms the good bits too. Then he comes up with a second very startling image, the surprising harvest field. Verses 37, 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Here we are in secular, non-religious Britain. Looks like spiritual concrete, quite frankly, to the untutored gaze. But Jesus says that the world is actually spiritually ripe for harvest. Doesn't look like that to us. It's not that many people are actually anti-God, but there are plenty of busy people who don't think they've time for God or any particular need of God. And there are many more who just aren't bothered, not even interested enough to argue about the subject. You know that famous graffiti? "Not enough is being done for the apathetic." And that describes many people's attitude to the Lord God. And for us, that seems like the fields are a long way from ready for a spiritual harvest. For Jesus, it looks like the fields are ripe for harvest, but the problem is the labor supply. Now, who's right here? Could it be him? If he should happen on this occasion to be right, let's just suppose. Radical, but still spot on. That means that there is a surefire prayer we can be praying. Now, we may not remember this prayer because we often get distracted by more self-centered prayers we might prefer to pray. You could think of the little boy who was overheard praying, "Dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just the way I am." Or the other little boy in the story whose dad was taking him to McDonald's when they encountered a major accident. Ambulances, crashed cars, bodies over the road, police, everybody there. And the father turns to the boy and says, "Son, we should pray." And the little boy bows his head, puts his hands together and says, "Please, God, don't let those cars block the entrance to McDonald's." So some prayers can be a little on the self-centered side. But if the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray a prayer, then that prayer is really, really worth praying. After all, he taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, and here is another prayer he tells us we should pray too. "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Finally, we come to sheep story two, sheep on a mission, the second part of our reading from Matthew's Gospel from chapter 10. Jesus says, remarkably, "I am sending you out like sheep amongst wolves." Now, for sheep, being sent out on a mission amongst wolves is something of a challenge. One of the extraordinary things about Jesus was he was so exactly the opposite of a salesman. In a world full of people trying to sell us things, he says stuff like this that is almost calculated to put everyone off. You'd think saying stuff like that would have guaranteed that nobody would ever have followed him. And yet here we all are. Here people have been for 2,000 years. Here are over 2 billion people around the world. Nobody else could have said stuff like that and found any followers at all. There is a legendary ad said to have been put in the London newspapers by Sir Ernest Shackleton to recruit for an Antarctic expedition. It went like this. "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold. Long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful. Honour and recognition in case of success. Contact Sir Ernest Shackleton. In that ad, Ernest Shackleton was one of the few people to have followed in the Lord Jesus tradition of honest advertising. We live in a world of marketing and advertising trying to get us to feel we have to have things we actually don't need or we'll never be happy. And it just makes us cynical and empty. The Lord Jesus spent a lot of time telling his followers how tough it was going to be to follow him. Yet they flocked to him, and they still do. If anyone else had said, "I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves," they would never have had any takers. It's one of the proofs that Jesus really is the Good Shepherd. You may be reminded of the Christian poster that goes, "Work for the Lord, the pay isn't great, but the benefits are out of this world." Now, what was his advice to help the sheep to cope amongst those wolves? He said, "Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Put it another way, he didn't tell us to turn ourselves into wolves and bite back. When the world is cruel, instead, he told us to keep the innocence he bestows and to be wise, to be very wise with it. Prudence and purity, wisdom and innocence, these are the combinations that Jesus tells us are needed for his kind of mission. Does all that seem just a bit overwhelming? Well, it's a good thing Romans 5 was our other reading. Here are the words a worried sheep needs when it's being sent out on a mission amongst wolves. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." How can a stressed sheep find peace in the face of demands of mission surrounded by wolves? Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives that peace, and it is a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that is beyond the world's understanding. This changes everything. Look at the change perspective. We see in verses 2 to 5 of Romans 5 about the hard times we go to. They suddenly look very different. "We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Suffering to perseverance, to character, to hope. And the basis for all of that, Paul continues, is, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ's love was so great that he died for us, and now God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We are still sheep at heart, but we have found a shepherd who can turn even sheep into something quite new. If we have found the Lord Jesus Christ, we have found the shepherd who can lead the clumsiest, most fearful, most wobbly of sheep into a whole new realm of existence. Therefore, first of all, if we follow Christ, let us be glad for all that God has done for us in Christ already. And then, if you remember nothing else from this talk, wake up just for a minute as you slumber before your screen. and commit yourself to asking the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. That is what the Lord Jesus told us to pray here. And as we work together to find out what it means in our villages to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves at this time, in this place, in these rather extraordinary and difficult days, we remember that that is what the Lord Jesus tells us we need for the mission he gives us. Let's now end with a prayer. O Father God, we pray that you would send out workers into your harvest field here. For ourselves, Lord, we are weak and busy and tired, yet we know that you are our leader and you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please help us to be labourers in your harvest field and to find some of that great harvest. Please help us also to introduce some of those sheep without a shepherd to the one true shepherd, the good shepherd who alone can guide their souls home. Amen. We celebrate our faith by declaring these words of faith together. Let us affirm the faith of the church which Christ commissions us to share with the world. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world?
I believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, Ian Benstead will lead us in our prayers.
Well, thank you for the invitation to lead your prayers. We begin with a verse from the reading, the words of the Apostle Paul, which underline and underscore all our prayers today. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And on this first Sunday after Trinity, we begin by worshipping the triune God, using a prayer inspired by John Calvin. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank you for the great truth of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who by grace, revelation, and inspiration empowers our lives to worship and serve you among your people. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit and grant us that reverence and humility without which no one can understand the truth. Amen. And this, in this service with a theme of mission, let us pray for community outreach at this time. We pray for those who have been made to wonder about the meaning of life during the COVID-19 pandemic, for those who have felt unsettled and uneasy during this period of implied risk to life and have been vividly reminded of their mortality. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit, we may be able to reach out to people who feel a God-shaped gap in their lives at this time. We pray that they will seek you out and accept your gift of peace that passes all understanding by way of repentance and faith and a repaired relationship with you. We pray for outreach amongst our own community and beyond, that there may be rejoicing in heaven as men and women, boys and girls, are brought by your Spirit to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake. Amen. A prayer now for our people, our nation and our world during this challenging time. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of all life, we confess that we have sought to rule the world instead of you, not under you. We have been careless with creation that you have so lovingly crafted. Please forgive us for our indifference and help us individually and the nations of the world to change our ways. Guide us by your Spirit and guide the leaders of our nation and local communities and those with responsibilities in our public services, industry and commerce, schools and universities, sports and recreations, that they may be faithful to the mind of Christ, facilitating a safe environment for all, encouraging impartiality and respect between communities. We pray for an atmosphere of peace and collaboration across our land and across our world, which will enrich our common life and above all prosper the good news of Jesus Christ. For his name's sake. Amen. And now a prayer for the sick and the suffering. Risen Lord Jesus, in your saving power, draw near to those who are afflicted at this time and those who care for them. A moment of silence while each of us may recall family and friends who are unwell or grieving, and especially any who are drawing near to the end of life on earth. May those for whom we are praying turn to you and trust you, Lord, and experience your love and care as the one who forgives and gives us peace. Bring healing to the sick, comfort to the bereaved, and reassurance to the anxious in body, mind, and spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And a final prayer. O Lord, support us all the day long until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world lies hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then, in your mercy, grant us safe lodging and a holy rest and that peace and a peace which passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus, Amen.
Thank you, Ian. Now we come to the Lord's Prayer. Please do say it wherever you are. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now we come to our second song, a wonderful encouragement to put our trust in the Lord. Be thou my vision. May God the Father, who has given to his Son the name above every name, strengthen you to proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord.
Amen.
May God the Son, who is our great high priest, passed into the heavens, plead for you at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
May God the Holy Spirit, who pours out his abundant gifts upon the church, make you faithful servants of Christ our King.
Amen.
And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us go in peace and hope to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Our service now is ended. If you would like to join us for coffee, do check the link in Pew's News and come at 11 o'clock on Sunday to the Zoom at Coffee Morning meeting. If you're new to this service, we'd love to get to know you and see if we can help you on your spiritual journey in these unusual times. Do just email or phone vicar.kbsft@gmail.com or phone Oxford 820451. All the contact details are on our website if you don't catch them during the service. Likewise, if you'd like practical help from our church team during the crisis, please contact Peter. His number is 820805, and that number also can be found on Pew's News or in the website. For prayer ministry, do be in touch as well. Thank you very much for coming to share our service today.